Dearly beloved, Christ is in our midst. In today's gospel, we hear a series of healings by Jesus. First, the two blind men, who, though they never have seen Jesus, yet had heard of him and called him Son of David, David the King, through whom the Messiah would come. And then when he took them into the house to heal them of their blindness, they even called him Lord. They knew who it was to whom they were speaking. And though Jesus told them not to go out and say anything, they went out and spread the news of their healing. Because God does not want us to speak about ourselves, about our accomplishments, about our boasts, but to speak about him alone. And that is what these two men healed from blindness went to do, to speak about Jesus and the mercy that he had shown to them. And then the man possessed by demons. And Jesus cast out the demons. And the people proclaimed how great this was, that surely God was at work here. And then we hear the Pharisees say, he must cast out demons by the prince of demons. How could this be? We know that later on in this very same gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus says to the Pharisees, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If the prince of the devils casts out his own demons, how can the devil ever win a victory? But here it's not what Jesus says. Rather, it's his silence, what he does not say. Similar to what happened when the people of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to leave their district because he had cast out the demons from the two men who entered the swine that went and drowned. And the people, rather than giving thanks, asked Jesus, leave. Go away. And Jesus said nothing, but he listened to them, and he went away. And today, when the Pharisees accuse Jesus of casting out demons by the devil himself, he does not rebuke them. He doesn't say a word against them. Nothing. He doesn't try to defend himself. He doesn't attempt to prove himself. He does not say, do you know who I am? Do you know what I can do? Not at all. He does none of it. Rather, he shows by his deeds what he is about. For it says he proceeded to the countryside. He stayed there. He went to the synagogues and he taught. And not only did he teach, but he healed disease and illness. And not simply from three people. He says every disease and illness of the people. In his meekness, Jesus accepted these words from the Pharisees and did not reply by rebuking them, but even more, he did good works. He healed the sick. He preached the kingdom of God. As always, Jesus is our model. He shows us what he preaches. For when he preaches and teaches and tells us, do the same, it's because he's done it first. For he says, we are to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who do evil to us, to love those who hate us. And this is what Jesus did here today. He loved and did good and blessed the people, despite the fact that there were some who thought he was under the power of a demon doing this good work. For us, how easy do we find it when someone we know hurts us? Do we continue doing good to them? Do we continue praying for their salvation? Continuing to do good things for them? Or, because they hurt us, do we stop? We stop doing good things and instead say evil things about them, gossiping about them, finding a way to hurt them in return. That's the easy path. As Jesus said, broad is the path that leads to destruction. The easy path is to curse those who curse us, to do evil to those who do evil to us. But St. John Chrysostom, speaking of the words of Christ, says, if we stop doing good because someone does something bad to us, that's the surest sign that we're not doing it for a godly reason, that we're not doing good for a godly reason. Rather, we're doing it for the praise of others, because we want to be recognized. We want to be honored by someone. We want them to do something good for us in return. It's like a transaction. We go to the store, grab a pound of meat, put it on the counter, we pay our cash, we get the meat. That type of transactional living is not life in Christ. To say, I will do good to you because you do good to me. And if you do evil to me, I will do evil back to you. That is not the gospel at all. That's nothing but the fallenness of the world, the devil trying to tempt us, throwing his darts into our heart to tempt us to follow what he would want us to do rather than what God calls us to do. To do as Jesus did today, to do good, to speak well, to pray and bless others, most especially those who hate us. That in our prayers, we do not keep that group of people at the bottom. They're at the top of our list. God, remember those who hate me, those who do evil to me, and have mercy on them. Save them. Even save them before me. Let me be last. Let them be first. That is Christ living in us. That is the power of Christ upon the cross, who for the shame and the disgrace of it all took it on himself for us who are sinners. And St. Paul uses another term, that when we are sinners, it means we hate God. Christ did all this for us sinners who try to lead lives of repentance, who ask him to grace us that we may be as he is, that he may live in us, that his love may flow into us and flow out of us upon all those who hate us, upon all those who love us. Because it is not by violence, it's not by an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth that God's kingdom comes into this world. Rather, it's by the death of our ego, of our self-will, of our wanting things our way, of our wanting good things from others, and only then will we give them good things. It's by putting to death that which is in us, crucifying it, crucifying our self-will, that all the rest doesn't matter anymore. Whether someone likes us or doesn't like us, whether they hate us or whether they love us, whether they harm us or whether they do good to us, it won't matter. It will only matter that we have Christ, and that we will live in Him, and that He will live in us, and we will give glory to Him with the Father and the Spirit. Amen.